Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of your favorite basketball podcast, Sitting Courtside, episode 33. As always, my name is Dante.
It's your boy, Jerry D.
And we're here talking more basketball. The playoffs are right around the corner. I think there's only like two, three, maybe four games left for most teams in the NBA. So going to wrap some things up, have some good topics, have some breaking down some potential NBA draft prospects, some teams that are on the up and coming, some teams that are falling apart. But before we get into that, please make sure to like, subscribe. If you are on YouTube, check out all of our other videos here, shorts, all that good stuff. If you're an audio only listener, that's awesome. But give us a 5-star rating. We appreciate your support. Follow us on our socials, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, all of that. Jerry, how are you doing today?
That was a mouthful, but
yeah, yes, sir.
I'm golden, man. I'm good, man. Hornets season is getting ready to close out here, so kind of a bummer that I won't be able to attend NBA games for a little while. Mm. Hopefully, we get some postseason games in, you know, TBD. We'll see what happens,
yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, all golden here, man. You good?
Everything's great. I'm coming back from my trip in Philly. Was at WrestleMania. It's all the wrestling fans that checked this out, was in Philly. It was a magical experience, one of the craziest experiences of my life. But that is that past weekend. We're here now talking basketball. Weather is getting nicer. I don't know about you, Jerry, but the weather up here in Massachusetts is getting beautiful. It's 60 and sunny today, so that definitely brightens my mood. And it definitely makes me more energetic and ready to talk about some basketball, and more importantly, the collapse right now of the number 2 seed currently, as of this moment, the Milwaukee Bucks. They might not be the 2 seed for long, but as of right now, they are the 2 seed. So let's talk about a few things here. Well, let's start from a few months ago when they hired Doc Rivers. Since they've hired him, they have a losing record. They are 16-17 with Doc Rivers. Some improvements, like I think the defensive rating got better, and there are some aspects I was like, okay, the team has made some sort of whatever, but overall, the team is not looking good under Doc Rivers. They are 2-6 over their last 8 games, including a 4-game losing streak. They did win last night against the Boston Celtics, in a game where they also had to shake up the lineup. Malik Beasley, who I believe was 9th in three-pointers made or percentage or something like that, one of the better three-point shooters in the league, got benched for Pat Beverly, who I think their record with him is like 4-1 as a starter or 5-1 or something. So they changed some things up. But more importantly, with this little, you know, their skid in these, you know, these games that they're losing to, not also, they're losing to bad teams like the Raptors, the Grizzlies, they're losing the bottom of the barrel teams. They're only one game ahead of the New York Knicks for the 2 seed. And seeds 2-5 in the East are all separated by 2 games. And again, I mentioned earlier, some teams have a few games left, 3 games left. So these last few games still mean something. Seeding can very much so be, teams can be going up and down here these last few days of the season. So with all that being said, Jerry, I want to hear your thoughts on what's going on with Milwaukee. Do you think this is going to translate over into the playoffs? And also, I should add, Giannis Antetokounmpo left the game last night with a calf strain injury. I don't think there's a timetable or any news on when he's going to be coming back. I think the safe assumption, he's going to be out the last 3 games, probably to preserve him, keep him healthy for the playoffs. But with all that being said, Jerry, what are your thoughts on the Bucks right now?
I mean, I'm terrified if I'm in Milwaukee playing, or if I'm a fan of the team, or if I'm the coaching staff taking care of them, I'm terrified. I think we need to note that there was a lot of left leg injuries to Giannis this season alone. There was a hamstring issue. There was something with his knee. Now we're having a calf strain, which each game I think he was listed as day-to-day. Yeah. Something I definitely would need to look up to double check and make sure, but I'm pretty sure he missed like 1-2 games tops each time whenever something like this happened to this left extremity of his body. And now it's a calf strain, which in most people's eyes is like, this is probably an Achilles. Which
that was what some people were thinking last night. That's the worst case scenario. Absolutely.
The results came back negative per Woj.
Yep, like, thank God.
Woj and Shams both were like, no, there's no Achilles damage. The Achilles is intact. Everything's good there. You don't need to worry about that. But it kind of reminds me of what happened to KD.
KD, yeah.
In the 2019 yes. finals run that
and
they
he
made.
Rushed, and he rushed back.
He rushed back. And he then, sat out a series. You know, like, I think he took off the Portland series or whatever it was, came back, played a couple games, and sat back out, and then came back in the finals. And then, doing his dance in the pregame tunnel. He looks fine to go, looks good to go, and then he gets out there. A simple routine crossover that we've seen him make a dozen of times throughout his career.
Yeah.
And boom, you see his Achilles just, you see the fruit roll-up, I like to call it, where it's just like rolling back up into his calf muscle and going down. It's like, yeah. Oh, shit. Like, he tore something. It was easy to tell. So, yeah. I'm a little nervous for what this means for Giannis's health potentially. Especially since, again, it's been something that's been lingering on in that leg all season long. Randomly, yes, but I guess I'll put a bow on this. I really just feel like they could be a first-round exit. Like, that's what it kind of seems like to me, especially depending on who they draw in the first round. Let's say it's Philadelphia, who, if they win their first play-in game and they're playing the 2-seed playing the 7-seed, I could see Joel
Embiid. That's a scary matchup. Oh, yeah.
Getting rid of them. If they fall in the standings, like, let's say they fall to 4, and now they have to play Orlando or Indiana or Miami if they happen to slide up. Not 100%. I'm nervous.
That's a team that can make you – oh, yeah. That's a team that will push you to your brink, whether you have Giannis or not. So you don't have Giannis in the mix. And two, like, they're at a crossroads now. Now it's like they're already on this, like, you know, winning 2 of their last 6 games. They haven't been winning games, losing bad games, all this and that, not figuring it out. Don't have the chemistry fully intact going to the playoffs. Now this injury happens. That's, like, one of the worst things that could happen. Thank God it's not an Achilles injury, like we said, because then, you know, that's just the worst case scenario. But this is an injury that you still have to be careful of, and you can't rush him. And someone like Giannis, like, how dominant he is and his style of play, he can't be like, he can't risk seriously injuring himself, because that's something he relies on, his legs, he relies on his, like, athleticism and all that to score and be dominant and stuff, and his strength. So they rush him back, and knocking on wood, it doesn't happen. But something like that, like what KD happens, they're forget about this playoffs. You're talking about all of next year, and, you know, how does that affect him in the future? So now it's like, you have a lot of options to consider. Do you rush him back? Or hopefully it's not bad enough where they have to, like, think about rushing back or nothing like that. Hopefully it's just a few days thing. But they have to be careful with this. And it couldn't have come at a worse time, because they still do need to figure things out. So I'm with you. I don't know what to expect out of Milwaukee in the playoffs. Like, I don't know how Damian Lillard, how he can, like, if he can take charge and, like, lead this team and keep them to those championship level expectations, if Giannis is out, because if Giannis is out, it changes a lot. And a lot of teams, like you said, with these matchups, they'll look at them and be like, oh, like, we were confident before, but now there's blood in the water now. Like, they taste the blood, and they're going to go after them. So you listed off all those teams. I think all those teams could 100% upset Milwaukee for sure.
Plus, like, I just pulled up his contract situation, where he's locked in for next year. But and then, you know, he didn't sign that major extension to commit to them for another 3 to 4. So he's a free agent after the 2024-25 season. As to where Dame could possibly opt out as early as next year, because he has a player option at the end of this summer. So there's a lot of offseason questions that would have to be addressed. Which we can get into.
Guys are getting older. Chris Middleton isn't getting any younger. He's had his fair share of injuries. Brooke Lopez, even though he's still great, guys aren't getting any younger. So
they're in the worst possible spot, where they're not exactly the favorites, but they're not going to be a team that goes out there and is shopping for, like, a new all-star, a younger star. They're all, like, they are what they are at this point.
Right.
And we have to.
There's only so much you can do. You're tied. So many guys are getting paid. You're tied to all these guys. It's like, you kind of have to make do with what you have. It's crazy how much different, how much the team has changed from 2 years ago to now. It really is crazy. But obviously, like, going back to all this, wishing nothing but the best for Giannis. Hopefully it is a very speedy recovery. Hopefully it's nothing serious at all, you know, and he does miss the rest of the regular season, but he'll be good for the playoffs. Because, you know, same thing with, like, an Embiid. When one of the best players is out, is missing time, it takes the fun away from basketball and stuff, like, you know, those Milwaukee series, like you're missing one of the best players on planet Earth. So it's like, you hate to see stuff like that. So wishing him a speedy recovery, and, you know, we'll see what happens with Milwaukee. We'll see what Doc Rivers can do. Hey, maybe he can figure it out without Giannis or something.
It's going to have to be a system where we see Damian Lillard play similar to how he did in Portland.
100%. Yeah.
Unfortunately for them,
I mean, he's led teams before. I'm not saying he's capable of it, but can he do it now with this team?
Damian Lillard didn't go anywhere in the postseason all that often.
Right. The furthest he went was the Western Conference Finals, and what, they got swept by Golden State.
So, like, I'm not exactly 100% sure if I want to put all my stock into Portland Dame. Maybe for a first-round series, if he could play this way, attempting 30 shots a game and averaging 35-plus, sure. Whatever you got to do to make it out the first round, to hope that Giannis is somewhat healthy enough where he doesn't have to carry the load. To go into a second-round series against another team is a whole different story. First-round series, sure. Maybe that's sustainable, but I'm not too confident if I'm Milwaukee, especially if I'm playing Philadelphia. Upset alert.
Easy. Like, let's say, God forbid, they slip down to the 4 seed. They play like a Magic Pacers first round. They make it past. You got Boston second round, and that's like a tough team. That's a team you do not want to face when you're banged up and have all this stuff going on. So, like, these last few games, I love it, man. These games are going to be intense. These games all mean something to the Magic, the Knicks, the Bucks, Cavs. Of course, the Cavs. They're all in the mix here. The Pacers, I think, is the only team that, like, is going to stay at the 6 because they're 2.5 games and they only have 2 left. I think something would drastically have to happen for them to move up and down. But these last few games, man, they're going to be entertaining. So keep your eyes on the standings, because I bet there's a good chance that they're going to be different in a few days compared to what they are now. So, all right, Jerry, let's talk about the NBA draft. I know it's a few months away, but LeBron James' son, Bronny James, has declared for the NBA draft, kept his eligibility. So if he wanted to go back, he could go back into the portal, do whatever he has to do. But he declared for the NBA draft. A lot of people are talking about where he'll go, whether he'll be a first or second round pick, whether teams will reach for him, whether teams will, you know, look past the whole thing of that, you know, it's LeBron James' son, and maybe just, like, you know, falls to the second round or something. I don't know. I don't really know where he's projected to go at this very moment. But what I wanted to ask you is, one, if he does get drafted, where do you see him going? And also, do you think him going into the draft, him potentially getting drafted, affects LeBron James's future? I know we kind of talked about this before, of like whether we think, like, you know, he would tag along with him if he got drafted by a team. A team's hoping, like, oh, we get Bronny, we'll get LeBron too. Do you think something like that is possible? LeBron James is does have a player option this offseason, which rumors are he's going to opt out and try to get another deal, 1 year deal or whatever.
Yeah.
How do you think this all comes together? Do you think these things are going to go hand in hand, where he goes, where Bronny goes, or what's your thoughts?
You know, to address the first part, like, where does he end up in a draft? I think currently right now, I wouldn't mind taking him later in the first round. Okay. Just because I know that's a project player where I'd be able to mold him maybe into a dynamic two-way guard, potentially if he ends up in the right type of system. Because I believe he already is an NBA-ready defender.
That is one thing that scouts are very high on for him, is his defense, yeah. 100%.
And that's something that you can't teach. It's effort, and his athleticism is obviously going to help him out. And he already has a high IQ for his age. He just – injuries obviously played a part with that cardiac arrest situation that he was in, where he didn't really have a full college season under his belt. So I think he could definitely still be a first-round pick, maybe early second round, but – I'd look at him to just be a project. In terms of LeBron going wherever he goes, I'm still a little unsure about that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it makes sense, sure, like, yeah, if we draft LeBron's son in the first round, sure, we get the big dog, but it has to make sense. Because LeBron's not going to carry a team to the promised land at this point anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even what we're seeing of this version of him in LA right now, it's where I need Anthony Davis to be the guy. I can do it some nights. Don't get it twisted.
Right.
Maybe come playoff time, I can turn it up for a whole series. I don't know. But we saw what happened to him in Denver in game four when they completed the sweep. LeBron came out and had like a 30-point first half.
Yep.
Like, he was playing like a man possessed. But literally, coming out of the locker room to play for the second half, you can just look at LeBron and tell, like, yo, he is out of
gas. He's gassed. Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm.
Like, he that's not the type of version of LeBron that anybody should expect.
Hey, so. I mean, he is in his 21st season, so it does make sense. Yeah. No, exactly. No, the man's tired. The man is tired.
It's not a knock. Like,
no, it's justified. No, it's justified. It's a good reason.
The Mind the Game pod where he gave that analogy of where he told his wife, it's like buying a car. I forgot which car, maybe a Hummer or whatever, in 2003. Mm. And 21 years later, yeah. Like, you expect me to still run. Like,
yeah, I haven't changed the tires or nothing. Yeah,
yeah, it's with the tread. Yep, it's with the tread on the tires. Like, rub his feet. Because the man has been playing for a long time. So I would hate for, let's just say, the Hawks to draft Bronny and they're like, oh, we're getting LeBron.
Right, right, right.
But, like, you guys aren't even built to win, for one. And two, you're about to get year 22 version of LeBron, which still is going to be the greatest 22nd year career out of anybody we ever seen, for sure.
But, and we'll ever see, 100%. Yep.
But it's like, dude, I hope you don't think we're going to the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
I hope you don't think we're going to make the Eastern Conference Finals.
It needs to be the perfect storm, I think, for that to happen. Like, I do think that the door is open for LeBron and Bronny to team up. I definitely think that is still in the realm of possibility, but it needs to make sense. I mean, if he's a late first round pick, a good team could take him. I don't know who has what pick, but I'm just going to throw out a New York Knicks. Okay. Let's just throw the Knicks out there. If the Knicks do get Bronny, I 100% believe that LeBron James could go to New York and suit up for the Knicks and do that. That makes sense. And they're a team that, they have injuries right now, but if they were fully healthy, that's a team that I'm not going to title them as a championship contender, but they are an Eastern Conference contender. They're a team that will give you some trouble, and you add LeBron James to the mix, 100%, I think that's a championship contender. Now, if it's a team like, I don't know, the Hawks, like you just mentioned, yeah, it's probably not going to happen, right? So I do think it is possible. If I had to take a, I would assume it's going to be safe to assume that he doesn't team up with his son. I think that he'll just sign another year deal in LA, go off into the bright lights, you know, in Hollywood, all that stuff. But it will be interesting to see like how teams kind of approach this, because I have seen, like I've mentioned before, like scouts are very high on his defense, think that he is an NBA caliber defender already. Even though he doesn't have the greatest numbers for a freshman, again, he dealt with some injuries. He had those heart issues and stuff like that. So it's like you kind of have to look at it that way too, where he's coming off of all this stuff and he's still showing those flashes, that potential. And, you know, nowadays, dude, like so many teams are going to be, you know, using their picks on projects in hopes of, like, you know, we've seen in the past, like guys like Giannis, I think, is a good example. He got taken and no one knew who the hell he was, but he was a project, and look at him now. I think teams kind of look at players like that, like, okay, they might not help us right away, they might not impact the game immediately, but if we use a pick on them and we, you know, actually properly use the time to like build them, develop them, this and that, Bronny James can turn into a very, very good NBA player. So it'll be interesting to see what team does take him and how that plays out.
Yeah, you know, and we're talking about, I like to use Giannis as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like most of the time when we say project players, it definitely does apply more to a 7-footer or a big.
Sure.
Like, because we have to see how their game develops.
Usually. Even a guy like Embiid, too. I mean, he was he started playing basketball just a few years before he got drafted.
By year four, year five is when you're expecting your center to kind of be like, hey, you finally put it. It happened to Steven Adams as well. He was a project player. Like, he ended up being what he was, and it looks good. For guards, the expectancy is so much shorter
right away
on how good they have to be, how quickly they have to be so good. So it's funny that we're saying Bronny could be a project player. Not that guards can or wings can't, but we just don't say that often because
you're
on a lot shorter of a leash of where by year one or year two, you better show me what the hell you're going to be or else you're a bust. Like we're all worried about Scoot Henderson and his performance this year and how inconsistent and like a roller coaster he's been. So I'm kind of looking at Bronny in the same type of scope, like where he should have time to develop, but If he doesn't, it's kind of like good riddance or, you know, bad news for him. Plus,
right.
I like the fact that he could also go back to school.
Yeah,
this is 100%. Also probably the best time for him to get drafted in the first round, guaranteed,
this,
though.
This draft.
Just because LeBron is still in the league and it's like, oh, that's the incentive.
Right. I also just like going back to like them teaming together, I don't want LeBron James to overshadow his son. I think his son, like Brian, does deserve the credit of being, you know, he is getting drafted because he's a talent. Nick, yes, he has the name attached to him. I do agree with you. This is the perfect time for him to go in. He could I think he will be a first round pick. And two, this year's draft, not looking like the deepest, stacked. Craziest. It's not stacked up, no. So I think this is the best opportunity. Depending, I don't know who has what pick. I know that's kind of be decided, you know, as the season ends and we get closer to the draft lottery. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how things play out there and where he actually does end up, because it seems like he is going to be a NBA talent next season. So we'll see what happens. All right. Last thing we want to get into before we sign off is, I mean, we were just talking about how close the 2 to 5 seeds are in the Western and the Eastern Conference, excuse me, in the Western Conference. The top 3 seeds are all still within 1 game of each other. The Timberwolves and Nuggets are tied for the 1 seed. The Timberwolves do have the edge right now. So they're the 1 seed, Nuggets 2, and the Thunder are the 3 seed, but they're only 1 game behind of both of them. So each team has 3 games left. The Nuggets and Timberwolves play each other. The Nuggets, I believe, I'm gonna read off their schedules here. We went over it before, but I already forgot. The Thunder are playing the Spurs, Bucks, and Mavericks. So a Bucks team that potentially might not have Giannis there. The Nuggets are playing, as I mentioned before, the Timberwolves, the Grizzlies, and the Spurs. And then the Timberwolves are playing the Nuggets, like I mentioned before, and the Suns and Hawks. So those are the matchups for those last 3 teams. Karl-Anthony Towns also is cleared for full contact. He is coming back for the Timberwolves, so that's another thing to keep in mind. I guess reading off all that to you, who do you think is going to finish as the 1 seed? Who do you think is going to be running the Western Conference going into the playoffs? Is it going to have home court throughout the playoffs? What are your thoughts in that 3-team race right there?
Man, flat out, I think I'm going to go Timberwolves here.
Okay.
I think how they played most of the season, they kept it very simple on offense, just kind of letting Ant flourish and be the guy and actually emerge as a real number one this year. Probably a simple offense to stop, sure, but obviously you can't stop a dog like Ant or any of the complimentary pieces when they get going like Naj Reid or Kyle Anderson. Defensively, they've been the best team most of the year. Credit to Rudy Gobert. Credit to Anthony Edwards again. Jaden McDaniels.
Absolutely.
I'm thinking for what we've seen from one seeds the past couple of years outside of Denver, it's usually how they look. I feel like it's one of the best players in the league, a top 10 guy, just like I was for Tatum and his guys last year. One of the best guys in the league and a top-rated defense. I'm going to go ahead and slot them in. Plus, playing the Spurs isn't going to be an easy game for any team just because of Wimpy, but you got the Grizzlies to close it out. Close out the season where it's kind of like, that's your doormat team. That's your gimme game where you could just solidify what you need. Playing the Denver Nuggets here tonight, I believe. Obviously, by the time we put the video out, we won't know the outcome of the game. But I think they actually go into Denver, and I think they win. I think that's a game that they're going to get up for. Anthony's fresh off of a 50-point
Anthony Edwards, ball. I was going to say, just had 50 points. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just that's one of the hottest guys in the league right now, not even just in terms of aura, but in terms of how he's actually playing.
Sure.
So I feel really confident about the Timberwolves' chances to lock up the 1 seed and just figure it out. I think Denver is a strong number 2, obviously. I think they're just at this point right now. It doesn't even matter where the hell they end up anyway. Jamal Murray might not even play in this matchup later tonight. Could miss the rest of the games just for the regular season. So that's going to play a part of how their offense is working and how the other sets and schemes are going to be ran. So kind of like I think they're kind of going to coast into the postseason rather than let's ramp it up to get this 1 seed. I don't think they care that much. And for OKC, 2-3 seed as well. But I definitely got Minnesota winning the regular season title, I guess, in the West.
Yeah, I mean, it's really just like, I mean, these 3 teams have just been going at it for the entire season. All three teams have been consistent the entire way. Even like the Timberwolves with the cat injury, they've still managed to, you know, continue to stay at top of the West. And I'm with you with the Nuggets, where like I didn't really think of it in the case of like they don't care. Like we've gotten to the point where like Jokic and the Nuggets, they know who they are. They know they're the defending champs. They know how good they are. And when they're healthy and stuff like that, you said Jamal Murray might miss some time, miss the last few games. And I don't know if you saw this. It was Jokic and Edwards were both quoted on like talking about like how big the game was. And Edwards was like, everyone knows how big this game is. I don't have to talk about it. And Jokic was like, you guys are trying to hype it up. Like, we don't care. This is just a game, whatever.
That's so exactly why I said what I said, you know?
Exactly. Like, the Timberwolves have more of that mentality of, like, let's get this thing going. Let's ramp it up going into the playoffs. Edwards just had 50 points. He's fired up. They're getting Kat back. They're ready to go. The Nuggets are just like, they're like, all right, we'll see you in the playoffs. And then the Thunder, like, again, like, I think they're right there. They're a game behind, so they're, you know, already one step behind there. I think that they've been great all year, but the Timberwolves, they've proven to be the best team in the West. You know, at least like the defensive ratings, how they're start. They have the defensive player of the year. They have one of the best players in the league. Karl-Anthony Towns, one of the best big men in the league. So I think I'm with you. I think it's either going to be Denver or Timberwolves, but honestly, you kind of drove me to say the Timberwolves with your points about how the Nuggets don't really care as much. So because of you, I'm also going to pick the Timberwolves. I think they'll finish as the number one seed, yeah.
It just, I don't know, the whole vibe of how this is ending, usually you see teams try to go at it like a horse race, no pun intended for Jokic here, but to try to like get gun for the one seed and clinch home court advantage throughout the whole playoffs. But we saw what Denver did. Like, they went.
Jokic is like, I'll play in Detroit the whole postseason if I have to, and he doesn't care. All he cares about is getting back home to his horses, like you just mentioned. As whatever can get it done faster, he doesn't give a shit. He's gonna dominate guys no matter what. So
I think for Minnesota's not exactly a young team, but for a younger team, less experienced playoff team, it's more important to clinch this one seed to have.
Yes, if we do get to have that home court. Yeah. Yes.
Like, you know, we get to a game seven. Thank God we're in Minnesota for game seven.
Much more valuable for a younger team than an experienced team that has already won a championship. That's a good point.
They bust the whole Western Conference ass on the road. It don't even matter where they play at.
Seeding doesn't matter to them. They could have finished as the eighth seed this year and they would have been content with it. So it'll be interesting. Again, the same thing with the East. Like, this is awesome. This season of the NBA, I mean, these last few weeks have been incredible because everything is just so close to each other. The standings are constantly changing. I think at this point we have like the top, like the play-in teams and playoff teams locked in, but where they finish is not locked in. It's just like, it's just cool to see these teams still going at it, these games still meaning something, 79, 80 games into the season. So it's great. I can't wait for the playoffs. I'm ready to get this thing rolling.
Yeah, should be probably one of the more entertaining, I think, postseasons within the last like 4 to 5 years. I think there's been a lot of lopsided series.
Mm-hmm. We can get a lot of great series this year. We can get a lot of great matchups.
It should be like, we should see a lot of shots fired on both sides. Like, I don't want to see any sweeps, man. Sweeps aren't fun. As a basketball fan, that means less NBA season for all of us. So let's, I'm not pulling for everybody to go to a game seven, but if you are going to sweep somebody, I need games to be no more than a 3-point victory. Let's see some dog mentality out here, fellas. There, like, shit. This is what we're paying to see.
I'll tell you what I'm ready for, what I am very excited for, because this matchup seems to be as close to clinch as it can get. The Clippers and Mavericks in the first round. That right there is going to be an insane matchup because there's going to be a whole lot at stake for both those teams. Yeah. The Clippers, they don't make it past the first round. We talked about if Paul George is leaving last week. First round exit doesn't help the case of him staying. And then the Mavericks, just another year of Luka dominating. They have Kyrie now. Can't make it past the first round. There's a lot of stories that can be told here. And also in the East, personally, any team that Philly has to play, I'm very interested to see the matchup that they get and what goes on there, because Embiid looks good. He's back now, and he's been looking like MVP Embiid. So whoever has to go up against them is in for a rough first round series.
We'd be talking for another 30 minutes if we got into playoff matches.
Oh yeah, so we'll save that.
Let's get to the play-in tournament. Yeah, you know, let's get to where we need to be, and we can open up that can of worms and go crazy.
Yes, sir. Right. Well, let's keep that can of worms shut for now, Jerry. Mm-hmm. We're at the end of the podcast. Do you have anything you want to throw in? Anything you want to add before we sign out here?
I believe the WNBA draft is this Monday, so just looking forward to Caitlin Clark going to the Indiana Fever. Mm-hmm. Form this dynamic duo with Leah Boston. See if they can get something popping in Indiana for the first time since Reggie Miller was there. Well, let me not disrespect PG. I'm sorry, PG's guys, but nah, it should be fun, man. There's a lot of this class that's coming into the WNBA draft is going to be insane. Cameron Brink will be there. Andrew Reese will be there. There'll be a lot of potential franchise players coming out of there. So
yeah, I saw that they're already like upgrading the stadium sizes and stuff, and they're moving because they're anticipating Caitlin Clark's like games, her debut and stuff like that. So, hey man, WNBA, I mean, just women's basketball, women's sports in general, it's on the up and up. The trajectory is going up and you love to see it. Shout out to UConn as well. Men's basketball, yes. South Carolina, shout out to the winners of the tournaments this year. I mean, UConn from start to finish, I think that was a pretty
dismantling team.
Yeah, it was I hate to say that it was kind of expected. You were kind of hoping to see, you know, maybe like Purdue gave a good fight and stuff like that, but I think a lot of people may have gotten their predictions right of UConn winning the whole thing, because they were just as dominant as they come. So but March Madness is over now we're time to focus on the NBA playoffs, and we will get to that in a few weeks and a few episodes. And until then, thank you guys so much for watching. Please make sure to like, subscribe if you are on YouTube. Put in the comments. Just talk to us. Agree with us, disagree with us, whatever the fuck you want to do. Drop F-bombs. Do whatever the hell you want. Just put in the comments. Go to TikTok. Follow. Check out all of our gamified content there. There's also the shorts on YouTube as well. Check it out there. Audio-only listeners, give us a 5-star rating. Like, all that good stuff. Follow us, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, everywhere. And I think that's it. So until next time, deuces. Peace.